Welcome to episode 505 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, EW Conundrum Demure. Our first conversation of 2023 with longtime contributor, homesteader, winemaker, sensei, and our resident reluctant philosopher, Almighty Todd. We talk with Almighty Todd from his place in Stockbridge, Vermont, and we delve into issues including calendars, the year of the rabbit, Exer's atmospheric rivers, the Republican Party, the art of war, a Neanderthal comet, putting us back into scale, and true warriors, among other things. A grand conversation to start off the year with Almighty Todd this go-round. We have an EW essay titled New Country, and we share some actual facts and figures as published in the January 2023 issue of Harper's Magazine. We have an EW poem called Humming. All of this, of course, will be infused, imbued with the wonderful energy of several great tunes. It is so nice to be with you. Let's get to it then. Episode 505 of Troubadours and Raconteurs.
Stronger. Oh, you're making it work, work, work.
new country. Weathered panes of frosted glass in the olden days of winters past, I'd look out into my father's backyard through the crystal's shining rainbows into my young brown eyes as crisp, clear sunlight shone through the wonder of it all in my new mind and old soul. My father's grapevine dormant for the season, yet basking in the breath of breeze through apple, pear, and cherry trees, dormant too, resting until the next spring. An immigrant's landscape influenced by the old world and dreams of a new country, working hard, looking for treasure troves, missing home whilst trying to build a new one. I remember the old barn and chicken coops, the new garage he built with some help from Victor and Bill, the winter garlic and the coal man dropping off a ton and a half slid into our coal bin through a basement window. I hear it and smell it and see it. I remember it in my own way. I miss him. Wish I could have known him better than I did. He was a good man. I hope he thought of me as a good one, too.
I wanna run away no more. Almighty Todd, is that you?
Ah, Conundrum, it is me. That's you.
It is me. Happy 2023, my friend.
It is 2023. It's happened again.
Yeah, another year.
I had to buy another calendar.
You didn't get one as a gift?
Oh, geez, I know. It gets so many. We actually, there are a few that we do buy because we do really like them. But then, yeah, there are the dozens that you get from different organizations and ones you didn't even expect. Even like the fuel driver dropped one off.
The fuel driver, like oil?
Yeah, the kerosene guy.
Kerosene guy, yeah. You know, my father-in-law gave my wife a puppy calendar, so now I got to look at that.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, there's it could be worse.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, we've got some nice ones that we found that are specifically like Native Alaskan art.
See, that's beautiful.
And it really are great. Just inspiring things to look at.
Yeah, we didn't have calendars on the list of things to talk about, but that's the way we do it.
It's that time of year.
Our good friend here, I should tell everybody, if you've been listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours, you know this guy. He's been on since the beginning. Homesteader, winemaker, sensei, and our resident reluctant philosopher, Almighty Todd. And calendars. You have Alaskan art, indigenous peoples, Alaskan art, and I have puppies on my calendar. I think you did better than me.
Well, you can always get another one and put it someplace, you know, for yourself, like put it down. I know you have your kind of like a man cave.
Yeah, my studio office. Yeah, right, exactly.
So, you know, you need one. I was just realizing I kind of missed having the old blotter calendar. You know, the big desktop one.
Oh, yeah.
Because I used to kind of doodle on them.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I used to have one of those. I have a planner. I use a planner, a big one, you know. Costs like, I don't know, 30 bucks, whatever, 40 bucks. I love them. I really use it as my home base. It's nice. That way you don't have to worry about things that need to get done. You just, every once in a while throughout the day, refer to your planner. And something pops in your mind, you write it down, and then you go off and be in the moment, you know?
Man, that's so analog.
Yeah, analog, baby. That's the way. I also use my phone, I have to admit, too, you know. But you want to talk about bigger things than calendars, but time is pretty important.
It is, and time, you know, and you know, I'm not so, I don't know, I just, the 2022, 2023, 2024, these years don't, I know they make fiscal sense. But they just don't strike me the same way. I'm kind of looking forward to Chinese New Year, I think, this year. It's the year of the rabbit coming up.
Why does that make more sense to you?
That's from what I gather from somebody that I trust, they told me that rabbits are years are calming years. Things become more sensitive. There's less opposition. It's time to accomplish things. And it's also associated with mercy, elegance, and beauty. And I was like, wow, we could really use some of that. So,
yeah, I mean, geez, you know, I'm thinking about the Republican Party here in the United States of America. They could definitely use
mercy. Me, no sense. Yeah,
elegance, class, whatever other positive.
It's a beauty, that's for sure.
Oh man, I don't know. By the time this airs, we're talking.
We'll be at the 112th vote
for what's his name. Mm-hmm. I don't even like saying their names. These people, I don't know.
I don't. You know,
McCarthy.
If six moderate Republicans wised up, Hakeem Jeffries could be Speaker of the House.
Exactly. I was hoping
we get to business here.
I was hoping that might happen.
It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Hakeem Jeffries would be fantastic. First African American to head any party in Congress.
He's a smart, eloquent guy from my perspective.
Definitely. Definitely. He's the antithesis of a McCarthy. You know?
Well, and this is the thing, is that this is where we were going and some of the things we want to talk about, but just the spirit of opposition for opposition alone. An opposition to try and gain power for power's sake alone. Not there's no will to govern here. It's going to be governtainment. yeah. the next couple of years.
Oh, and that's ego, just, narcissist.
It's a terrible, terrible waste of time, a waste of our tax dollars. Oh my gosh, you just gotta get back to calling the people you can call and give them the right things to say. Tell them, you know, that you support them, and hope we can continue to do better. But you know, this goes to I'm as tired of this kind of stuff because it's the same mindset as I am. I'm tired of war. I had written to you about tides of war and being tired of war.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was one of the topics. Yeah, tired of war. Tired of war. Go for it. Go.
We're of a younger generation. We didn't experience, our grandparents were part of World War II.
We're Xers.
The last great war. But you know what? There have been other wars going on for as long as we've been alive. You know, we got born in the time of Vietnam, and there's always been something going on somewhere. And it's usually been pretty bad and awful. And you go, we've got Ukraine happening now. You go back to Syria. Just keep, the Balkans, Rwanda, just keep the list going, because it keeps up. It's as constant as mass shootings are in this country.
It's sad to say. Yeah.
Because it's basically the norm, and it's using, violent opposition simply for the sake of grabbing power or resources. And it's such a low mindset in terms of human development, specifically because it requires dehumanizing other people.
And I think too, I feel like I need to interject. The folks that we're talking about, the people that we don't appreciate their approach, I don't even think they're that deep. It's not about a passionate philosophical set of principles that they truly cherish and believe will make society better that we don't necessarily agree with. It's just adolescent. It's pre-adolescent.
From the time, you got to teach kids how to share at some point. This is just before that.
Right. It's amazing. And but it's a reflection, unfortunately, of a large swath. I'll use every variation.
They're fine. They're
of our society.
I'm about to let out.
That's the thing. Our society is there. Otherwise, those folks would not be there.
Well, yeah. What drives it, though? I mean, is it really us, our society, or are we learning from a system that perpetuates this? I mean, we grew up with knowing that about the military-industrial complex, right?
Yeah.
That's no
secret.
No secret, and people know what that means. But do we really realize what that means? And the fact that half of our budget goes to military spending, and this is nothing against the military per se or military people. I am a grandchild of veterans. I have military people in my family. I know people that have made a career out of that. I understand the need for it as a reality in the modern world. But I also read Sun Tzu and the Art of War when I was very young.
Right.
And
I've read it too. Great.
And what it tells you if you read it, I think if this is just a quick paraphrasal, but you accomplish your ends with as little destruction and loss as possible.
Right.
On either side.
Right.
And so the concept of bombing civilian infrastructure is abhorrent to that concept.
You're talking about Putin now.
Well, it's not, we've done it too.
That's absolutely true.
Dresden, was it's it, but
it, I think of Kurt Vonnegut as soon as you mentioned Dresden, and the depravity and the pointlessness and the pain, the despondency that war creates. He shared that with me when I was a young one.
Yeah, we opened the atomic age by doing that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, again, it's this very low developmental operation that we try to teach kids not to do, right, when they're young. No, you can't hit Johnny to take his popsicle from him. That's not right. Let's share the popsicle. I mean, so, but yet, you know, between us and China, that's half of global military spending.
In the world.
In the world. And we spend three times as much as they do. And do we even get what we're paying for?
Yeah.
That's the other question. There's a lot of room for slack. I mean, you know, we've also grown up with, you know, hearing about, you know, $1,200 toilet seats on Air Force jets.
Well, you know, you mentioned the military too in a couple moments ago, and those individuals that are at the highest echelons of that institution.
They should be court-martialed if they say bad things about the president. That's what I heard recently.
Well, the people that say that are idiots. But the people I'm talking about, the highest echelons of the military complex, I guess. I don't know if that's the right reference in the context of what I'm saying. Just the intelligentsia, you know, the people who understand what it means to be militarily responsible and prepared. They do not have the same mentality as warmongers.
No. They all read Sun Tzu in The Art of War.
Right. They're wise usually, and they don't want to put people in harm's way. You know.
Isn't that crazy? For as much war as we've got going on, there are people that are involved in it that are usually trying to keep it from happening.
Right.
So it starts getting to be bizarre that you know the total military spending this year, you know, 2021. Globally was $2.1 trillion.
Wow.
We had 801 billion of that.
Wow.
And the World Food Organization has estimated that it's hard to come up with the money. We might not be able to do it, but we could end world hunger for $40 billion a year.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's sad,
right?
To say the least. We can't. Well, there are also infrastructure and geopolitical issues that come into play. You know, you could bring that food to a place where it's needed, but it might not get to the people that need it. It gets sold off into the black market, or it just sits and rots because, you know, there is an organization and there's anarchy corruption.
Yes, you need to build sustainable systems so that the food is closer to the people who need it.
Or yeah.
If food can't grow where they live, then this is something that's going to become more of a talk amongst us. Is there are people? There's going to be mass displacement in the coming decades.
Are you alluding to climate change refugees?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, that's good. Well,
because the wetter places are going to get wetter, and the drier places are going to get drier on average. That's what happens as the atmosphere warms up and it can hold more moisture. It takes it from the places where it can steal it from, and it dumps it on the places where it can.
And how does this connect to what we're discussing, you know, climate change and displacement of millions of individuals?
Well, those
elite leaders.
Yeah, those elite military leaders that you were talking about previously, they've known about this stuff for years, and they've been writing reports on that. Yet there are people in government that still somehow find it in themselves to deny that there's even change happening. Right?
Yes. Yeah, but we do want civilians to be running our government, right? Not the military.
That's true, but you should be at least listening to what they're saying. If you're going to spend half your budget on those guys, you ought to listen to them.
Good point. Good right? point. And I do agree with you that the budget's bloated. It shouldn't be that high. We should be spending on education, on all sorts of infrastructure, on taking care of the millions of people in need in our own country as well as those abroad. But we don't. We don't, and I, you know, maybe you and I are naive. We don't understand.
definitely, yeah.
And people that would do it, could do it, they could tell us a few things. They could say, listen, we want to do it, but it's not possible. Or, but I don't think so. I think it is possible. I don't know how to do it. I don't have an answer. But, man, if you bring the best minds in the world together and you have the funds to back up their ideas, you could make it happen, I think, to a certain extent, and then build, you know.
A bunch of billionaires that just they in the last year and a half or 2 years have increased their net wealth by $1 trillion.
And paid little or no taxes,
yeah, they
relatively.
They, too, could have pitched in. It's just it's ass backwards.
It is.
It really is.
It is. It is. And
I don't mean to get depressing in the beginning of 2023. But
that's
I just,
the this God. Is this is the first it's, conversation it's, we're having in 2023. It's like, oh, well, what's the point?
It's just got to be prepared. We got to prepare mentally and put everything into perspective, because, you know, this is what's happening on this planet that we're sharing. And despite anybody's fantasies about us, the people leaving the planet and us moving out into the stars, I think we have to put that on hold.
Oh, please don't be talking like Elon Musk. That
he can go if he wants.
I wish he would. I wish he would.
Fine with me. I may have said that already, but in a conversation, I think I say it pretty regularly now. But
I got upset with him because he started fraternizing with Grimes. I think she's a very talented artist, musical artist, and. I don't know. He kind of – I was shocked that they got together. And then they separated, of course, because –
Oh, you didn't care about him being at the World Cup with Kushner?
Well, I said I started to dislike him greatly. I started and I lost a little respect for her as well because I thought she was cooler than him. But yeah, probably. Kushner, he's another guy I really never liked, and it makes sense that they're hanging out together, probably in an elite, sort of box, definitely right at the World Cup.
Oh yeah.
But these are the people, like when I'm in class and I'm talking to students, how many people, young white men, usually, they talk about Elon Musk like he's the second coming. And what do you think about him? Professor, like I don't like him. I don't tell them Grimes has anything to do with it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But that's not the only reason. I don't like his ilk, you know. Or
his attitude.
No, I don't. I don't think that's something to look up to.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, is how much of Tesla's genius is him or it's the people? He just happens to not have derailed it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's part of this entrepreneurial spirit. Is that usually it's narcissists with money,
right,
throwing stuff around. And even though the idea of the entrepreneur is supposed to be about finding solutions to apparent needs to make things better for people, but we've equated it with this venture capital throwing money at stuff to do things, whether they're productive or not. And heck, you can even throw money at stuff and fail and be like, oh, wasn't that cool? I just lost $200 billion in the last couple of weeks because I'm an idiot.
Right, right.
And the way I interact with people.
And that's what we champion.
But I've got it to lose, so ha!
And we think that's cool, as you mentioned. Yeah, I don't know. You're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest. We are lost. I'm lost. I know that. I'm a 56-year-old man who's lost. The pandemic, I think, did a number on me.
You're where you are. It's chaos is all around you.
Yeah, well, I get you. I guess maybe lost isn't the right word.
I wouldn't let yourself go that far. I'm not going to let you go that far.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay, I used the wrong word. I feel like
I want to invalidate your feelings.
Yes, please do validate my feelings. Don't just overlook them and minimize them, Almighty Todd. But you make a good point. I guess when I look out at the world, And I don't see, you know, when I look at what's normal, myself fitting in. But at the same time, I don't have alternatives easily accessible other than that normal. And that makes me feel lost because I'm not fitting in and I don't like my options, you know, that are so readily available. I guess I got to get off my whining, lazy buttocks and make my own way. You know, have positive. Maybe I'm just being a whiner, a lazy whiner.
Power of positive thinking. Yep, that can get you a long way. Get you to be president, even.
Oh, please.
Even without anything else. But no, it's there is something to it, and but there also is. You have to recognize and be okay with the fact that we aren't in control of the outside world, you know, at all. We can affect it in some ways or another, some larger, some smaller in general. Some people go out of their way to spend a lot of money to do that, but I mean, for most of us, it's about how we control or deal with what's going on internally, how we direct our intent internally.
Excellent.
In perspective with that outside world, because again, this goes back to this idea of primary control and secondary control. And like, primary control is when we try to fix stuff out on the outside to make things better, because that's our first impulse. It just is, because we are Homo sapiens, are builders and changers. That's what we do. But secondary control is this idea of, well, I can also decide, how do I need to look at this? Is this really the problem I automatically think it is? Or if I change my mindset about it, is there an opportunity here? That taking the time to exert internal secondary control first can have a positive effect on how we then do engage in primary control on the outside, because we're more intent and directed. This is something I've just been kind of really thinking about lately as a way to like check myself, especially at those times when I feel like, oh, what's going on? I can't do it. Okay, wait a second. Take a deep breath.
You got to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
Ice cube. That's Ice Cube. I got to give him credit.
That's beautiful. You know, that's a good point, that where, you know, you don't need religion for guidance in that time, in that point. That's a humanistic, realistic response.
It's wise, and it's
as you very said, simple and very straightforward. You know, that's good stuff.
So we're about 22 minutes in. You know,
time flies.
Yeah, it does. We got to start thinking how we're going to bring this home, my brother, Almighty Todd.
You know. Well, let's see here. Well, we did talk about, you know, what's going on the planet, and we started to allude to what's going on around the planet with this atmospheric stuff we had talked about with.
Atmospheric rivers.
Yeah, because California just got walloped twice in a row. And they're worth looking into. There's some good imagery out there and some good graphics that explain what they are. But these things can be thousands of kilometers long and only 100 kilometers wide. They're big, dense plumes of moisture in the atmosphere. And I didn't know this until I started looking into it. But there's a few of them happening in each hemisphere at any given time, and it's estimated that one of them has as much water as the whole Amazon River at any given time, and that 90% of the atmospheric moisture is concentrated in those things, and they feed rainfall. A lot of California's rainfall comes from those things. It's just that we're starting to move into a space where they could be getting more intense. And whereas they can be helpful on the low end, they can be really tough on the high end. And it's part of the whole water cycle that we're all going to have to deal with. That's something to keep track of. But before we get too carried away, because I could talk about the weather forever.
I know you love the weather.
There's this thing that's going to happen in mid-January. And there is a comet that's coming through. It's comet. I just had to reference this. It's comet C/2022E3 in parentheses ZTF. This comet, the last time it was visible to the naked eye in the planet was about 50,000 years ago.
Oh my lord.
So early humans and Neanderthals in the, like, I guess the upper Paleolithic period, they would have seen this thing.
Wow.
Because they had no ambient light bothering them.
No matter where they are on the
outside of whatever firelight they created. So at least, you know, I'd have to look for sure where they would have had to be. But I guess this is, it's going to be bright enough for, you know, a couple of weeks. It's going to get brighter and then dimmer, right? And it, but it peaks around mid-month. So it's worth looking at because this is something that humanity hasn't seen in a really long time. And it's one of those things that I feel like puts us back into scale. And while we're here throwing bombs on one another, we're, again, just, we're this really precious blue dot in a big void. And one of our neighbors is going to be passing by here who hasn't been by in 50,000 years, which for us is like, wow, just like you said. But in space-time, it's a blink. Mm-hmm. It'll be back again. You know, in space, it's just like the rhythm of 50,000 years goes probably by like that.
Right. And we're like 1/1000th of a millisecond, yes, of a blink.
Yes. And so the fact that we lives. Spend our time shortening one another's lives is freaking nuts. And it, let's for the love of the planet, love of God, if you want to go there, you know, each and of us in our everyday, do everything we can to reduce the amount of opposition, unnecessary opposition that we give one another.
But that's weakness. Now you'll be preyed on.
No, this is, that's what a true warrior protects society, and it doesn't try to destroy it. That's the bottom line. So, you know, go back to Sun Tzu. That's what he was saying from my perspective, and I think that we need more of that kind of bravery in the everyday here. So that's what I'm looking forward to in this year.
Well said, Almighty Todd. Well said. That, you brought it home, fratello. You brought it home.
I hope it got home.
Yeah. It hit me home, and I appreciate it. It's always wonderful talking with you, Almighty Todd. Up there in Stockbridge, Vermont, how is it up there? Okay, nice and warm?
It's weird. Weird winter so far. Yeah. I guess it was like this in 90, somebody just told me. It was just before I moved here. But man, it's weird. It's rainy. It's wet. So the river's up. Atmospheric moisture, man.
The White River. Right? So, you're talking about the White River?
Yeah. Yes, and I'm hoping that we should talk because I would like to get you up here this summer. I think it's time for a rest and relax down on the rocks.
Let's do it. Yes. I accept your invitation.
All right.
All right, man.
Have your people talk to my people. We'll set up a time.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. Tell your wonderful wife I said hello.
Same for you.
And we'll talk again soon.
Yes, take care of yourself and take care of your people.
You too. You too. Ciao. Good night. And now, some actual facts and figures, statistics from Harper's Index, published in Harper's Magazine, January 2023. Compelling, funny, and maybe disturbing too. You be the judge. Portion of Japanese Americans who support the Democratic Party, 2/3. Of Vietnamese Americans who do, 1/3. Portion of Catholic Latinos in the Northeast who support the Democratic Party, 9/10. Of Protestant Latinos in the South who do, 1/2. Percentage of Democrats who say we should support Ukraine in the war against Russia for, quote, as long as it takes, 68%. Of Republicans who do, 50%. Minimum number of fake Twitter accounts operated by the U.S. military that have been suspended since 2012, 170. Percentage of those accounts that had fewer than 1,000 followers, 81. Chances that a registered voter thinks mainstream media is a, quote, major threat to democracy, 3 in 5. That a Trump voter does, 9 in 10. Portion of working parents who say their pay has not kept pace with inflation, 7/10. Of working adults who say they have moved to an area with a lower cost of living to cut expenses, 1/5 or 20%. Portion of Europeans who are cutting back on essentials like food and heat to save money, 3/5 or 60%. Who are relying on savings or loans to pay their bills, 1/3. Number of hours by which the amount of work per month needed to afford the typical U.S. rent has risen in the past 2 years, 8 hours more. Percentage of workers who have looked for a second job because of inflation, 38%. Who plan to do so, 14%. Percentage increase since 2019 in Google searches for plausible reasons to skip work, 824% increase since 2019. Percentage increase since 2019 in the number of bird watchers in the United States, 16. In the number of pickleball players, 39. Percentage by which men are more likely than women to sexually harass a boss of the opposite sex, 44%. By which men are more likely than women to say they use sex appeal to get what they want in the workplace, 10%. Portion of Americans who say they have been bullied at work, 1/3. Of tech workers who say so, 4/5. Portion of U.S. 8th graders who are proficient or above in math, 26%. Percentage by which that represents a decrease since 2019, 24% decrease. Portion of Americans who say their brains, quote, shut down when they encounter any form of data, 3/10. How do you like them apples?
Desert.
humming. Wooden wind chimes are resilient, up and down the eaves, as seen fit by the winter warm breeze these climate change days. Humming refrigerator filled with leftover holiday fare. Sweet notions of whole soul and lightness of a solid spirit, despite the worshipping ways of mankind. And there you have it, episode 505 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I would like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, my brother, my good friend, Almighty Todd. I also would like to thank Harper's Magazine and these musical artists: Thelonious Monk, Radiohead, Planes, Tony Allen, Fortet, Alex Ebert, Roxy Music, Branford Marsalis, and Terrence Blanchard too. And of course, I would like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's give it a go and do our best with this time. It's 2023, don't you know? Take care.